Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
اللهم رب العالمين تتم والصلاة القائمة آت محمد المصير والقدير ودار غيشة وراح مقام المؤمن الذي وعده الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليرشدوا الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم إلى النور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله we be opening sound testimony there's no embarrassment there's no deity no object of worship except Allah له الملك his is the kingdom وله الحمد Him is due all unqualified praise. بيدي الخير. In His hand is all good. وهو على كل شيء قدير. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. We bear open and sound testimony that our leader Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is His slave servant and His messenger. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. Send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad. وعلى آله and upon his family. وصحبه upon his companions. أجمعين all of them. وَيَعْيَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Allah the Most High be upon you, وَجُمُعَ مُبَارَكُ and the blessed day of gathering. أَمَّا بَعْدُ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَّا الَّذِي حَاجَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكُ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ قال أنا أحي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبحت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين صدق الله العظيم An expression of the 258th verse of the second surah of the Quran is, Have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given that one kingship? When Abraham said, My Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, Indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. In our continuing the subject, the science of truth and reality, this being part six, Abraham brings us to and brings to his support the obedient scientific nature of creation and brings his enemy to dumbfoundedness. Therefore, this is one of the keys for settling arguments. Very, very important for today, especially. And in fact, the subject itself began with that premise from the many, I think we had double figures on the beginning of the subject, the nature of truth and reality. In any case, so the focus on scientific proofs is because this is where we are in the set of verses 255 to 258 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Therefore, the key to settling arguments are scientific proofs. But you can't do so without an obedient intellect. So the call, the main call right now, is to motivate us to appreciate that this service to Allah that we all owe as ibadullah is best achieved, best accomplished when we have obedient intellects. Very important. It's not a prejudice in favor of people who supposedly have high IQs or anything like that. Allah has given everyone brain and its properties and the intellect, and alhamdulillah, and he has filled each one of us with the knowledge of the nature of all things. But we have to grow, we have to cultivate those properties in us. And so Prophet Muhammad, as it is with so many of the hadith and Quran as well, most of it, when read, if you wanted to equate explicit and implicit, encouragement or orders, you know, how much of it is orders and how much of it is encouragement. The larger portion of what Allah reveals and what the Prophet gives us, they are encouragements, they are advice. They are, well, if you really want to do the good thing, this is what you should do, but you have freedom of will, so you can choose to do it or not do it, but might I suggest that why do you not give your response to Allah and His Messenger when He calls you to that which will give you life? So Allah and the Prophet, peace be upon him, taking their sources of information together, they said, well, we're just making a very strong suggestion to you, but because of the sanctity and the sacredness of your free will, you can choose to do it or not. So we get Quran, these examples, these models, we get the hadith and the saying of Prophet Muhammad, which I'll read in just a moment. What is the primary objective? Be encouraged and motivated and advised to cultivate what we are pointing to. So if the intellect, as the hadith says it is and does what Allah says it will do in the hadith Qudsi, then you should be encouraged to do that. So we're just doing our part in sharing. The hadith on the devoutly obedient intellect, it says, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, he said, Allah created the intellect. He told it to stand up, and it did so. Then told it to turn its back, and it did so. Then he told it to turn its face, and it did so. Then told it to sit, and it did so. He then said that he, that is Allah, he said, I have created nothing more excellent or finer than you. By you I shall receive. By you I shall give. By you I shall know. By you I shall reprove. By you reward will be gained. And by opposing you, punishment will be received. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith Qudusi. It is the words are from the Prophet. The meaning is from Allah, and Allah speaks in the first person. So there are about six: to receive, to give, to know, to reprove, to gain, and to be punished. So there are six sections that Allah says happened by His will and by His design through this most excellent creation, the intellect. And so last week we spent good time on "by you I shall receive," because something has to explain, well, how does the intellect cause these things to happen as Allah has ordered? How does Allah receive by the obedient intellect? How does Allah give by the obedient intellect? How does Allah know by the obedient intellect? How does Allah reprove by the obedient intellect? How does Allah gain? How is reward gained by the obedient intellect? And how is punishment received by opposing the obedient intellect? And we're just walking through each one of those categories. So last week we spoke to "by you I shall receive," and I won't begin to speak to that because you know what happens when we do that. So we got to go to the next one: "by you I shall receive," and the next is "by you I shall give," and I believe we covered the portion of that from the seventh ayah of the 40th verse of the Quran, and I'll read an expression of it and the point that it made and go to the next. It's where it says, "by you I shall give," and so we talked about how everyone gets their rights by the obedient intellect. The intellect being obedient to God, then people are given their due, they're given their rights, they're given justice, etc., by the obedient intellect. And Imam Muhammad, in explaining that portion of the verse that says, "our Lord, you have encompassed all things in mercy and knowledge," Imam Muhammad points out, rahimahullah alayh, that what it means is the margin between knowledge and wisdom is mercy, and that you can't get wisdom with just knowledge. You have to couple that knowledge with mercy, and then you will also do justice. And also, rahma wa ilma is what is in the verse explicitly, and the ilm itself is science. Ilm itself is science. So the science that we get from the material creation is also a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brings comforts into our lives. I want to take a step further in this giving. "By you I shall give." So Allah is saying, "by you I shall," by you, by the obedient intellect, "I shall give." Think about it. It's like if somebody was telling you, okay, if you got to go pick up your check, you want to know the address. It's like, okay, what's the address? It's like, well, you got to go to place X, Y, or Z. When you go to place X, Y, or Z, you're now motivated to go to X, Y, or place X, Y, or Z. Why? Because that's where you're going to get your check. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "by the obedient intellect, I shall give." Okay? So that means ignorance is just totally unacceptable. Ignorance is useless. Being unintelligent is useless. And being a disobedient intellect is useless. It's no value. It's not productive. In fact, the bottom line is the last part of that hadith is going to be a source of punishment. When you oppose intelligent obedience, you are setting yourself up for punishment. So let's go to the hadith. Pardon me, the Quran, and the 37th ayah. We're still just on the point, 37th surah. On the point of "by you," and "you" is the obedient intellect, by you I will give. So we're still under that. Allah in 96, the 96th verse of Surah 37, he says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ مِمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. An expression of this is saying, it says, Allah created you. And that means all of you. خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا and what تَعْمَلُونَ and what you make. Allah created you and what you make. All right? So, it's like, whatever, I use a computer to produce something, then they don't put the computer's name on the book that gets published. They don't put the computer's name on the paper that's been written. The computer was just used as a tool to do what the author actually did. Well, Allah is the author of creation, and we are a part of the machinery of creation, through which Allah executes his will. And so when he says, by you I will give, well, the mechanism inside of us that has the freedom to do or not do Allah's will is our intellect, our intelligent will, our power to think. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's by the obedient intellect that I give, I will give. And we want to speak to something where the Quran is showing us Allah doing through our obedient intellect. You know, obedient intellect is not, is also, is not, most times we think about salat and zakat and fasting and, you know, whatever, stepping into the masjid with the right foot and other things. And alhamdulillah, all these things are important. But you can get ritualistic, superstitious, materialistic, and miss the point of the ritual when you don't understand that there's more to life than just ritual worship. That's very important. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells that, he shows us that. Sometimes it's just not pointed out to us. So we want to point out in these two verses, the 80th verse and the 81st verse of Surah 16. We're only going to read the expressions so as to conserve time and make the points explicitly. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan. 16th chapter, 80th and 81st verse. It says, it is Allah who made your habitations homes of rest and quiet for you, okay, and made for you out of the skins of animals tents for dwellings, which we find so light and handy when you travel and when you stop in your travels. And out of their wool and their soft fibers, between wool and hair, and their hair, rich stuff and articles of convenience to serve you for a time. It is Allah who made out of the things he created some things to give you shade. Of the hills he made some for your shelter. He made you garments to protect you from heat, and coats of mail to protect you from your mutual violence. Thus does he complete his favors on you, that you may bow to his will in Islam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. In both of these verses, 1881, it begins, it is Allah who made for you. It is Allah who made out of the things he created, etc. And all six of these things that are mentioned, as I've numbered them, all six of these things are things we can see man physically doing, Allah is not a man. Allah is not anthropomorphic. Allah is not any body. Allah is not in any body. Okay? So when Allah says he's the one that made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things in this, just in this example. So when it, and it says the lugha al-arabiyya, ja'ala, ja'ala, it would be translated or expressed as he did it. He did it. Ja'ala, 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 he did it. Each of the benefits that is mentioned that Allah is saying what he did for you, speaking to all of us, each of these benefits is actually a transformation of circumstances that came about through the growth of human intelligence in reply to the forces or demands of nature. So Allah activated and stimulated our potentials by challenging us or putting us in an environment that would challenge us. We had a khutbah some years ago that life is a progress, life is progress against resistance. Life is progress against resistance. Our cars move down the street, we move down the road because when the rubber meets the road, the tires, and as they turn, it's the resistance of the road. It's not going anywhere. It's like, I'm here, I'm not moving, right? And then the tire is pushing against that immovable road, and the vehicle that rests on top of the wheel and all the other mechanisms associated with it, we make progress. We make progress. But at the where the rubber meets the road is the resistance. All right? So we make progress through resistance. When the Quran says, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٍ, verily with the difficulty is the relief. Okay? So now, in principle, you can say, verily with the resistance is the progress. Verily with the resistance is the progress. If nobody and nothing is opposing you, check your pulse. You might be dead. MashaAllah. The idea is that whenever you want, whenever you have a goal, you always have those two elements of every, no matter where you are, no matter where you're standing, no matter what your goal is, everything is recalibrated. Everything is becomes either a benefit or a harm to that, a support or a resistance to that goal. Everything. Everything. Well, let me qualify that just a little bit. There are other things that become irrelevant to the goal. There are other things that become irrelevant. So you have the whole universe. So it's like the whole universe doesn't have something necessarily to do with your particular, whatever, you're interested in going to get a sandwich. You know, it's like, okay, the universe is going to get a sandwich, so we got to stop everything else. No, it just, whatever is related to that specific goal and in your immediate environment, there are things that you are aware of, but you are aware of them based on what your objectives are in that particular moment. Now, when your objectives change, well, then the value of everything in your immediate environment changes and is considered in relationship to whatever the new goal is. So I'm not going to go too much further with that. But the point is to understand that Allah has made it the nature of life. هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العمل. He said he's created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. So there's khair and shar in everything. There's potential benefit and potential harm in everything. Something that may be a potential harm in one instance becomes a benefit in another instance, and vice versa. So it is with the challenges that everything, the weather challenges us,
Everything challenges us. The state of the ground, everything challenges us. The life that we're surrounded by, things that were done before we started to do whatever the next thing is. Everything is a challenge, and this is why your capacity for thinking, reasoning, intelligence, separating, deciphering, identifying, you know, what the quote unquote real problem has everything to do with whether you make progress or not. IMPAY, those are initials. IMPAY, P-I-E, P-P-E-I, famous architect, whatever. The documentary is first person singular. First person singular. It's worth looking at. Very very old as time goes nowadays. But in any case, inside of that particular documentary, he said success is a set of problems solved. Success is a set of problems solved. Let me, you know, take it down an octave, but very specifically, you know, listen, the Miami Heat is going to have to solve the L.A. Lakers problem. Okay, you see how this game is going on? That's a problem. And if you can't solve this problem, you're not going to be successful. And that's how it is. Everybody has to solve the problem of what's opposing them. And your success will be to the extent that you solve the problem of what opposes you. Okay? And I'm saying that by Allah in His revelation, He gives us this very explicit model here. And by His grace, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, He's also telling us, keeping us humble, to say, look, man, this is me talking now, okay? I'm at that place right now. It's like, you ain't done nothing. That's me talking, okay? You haven't done nothing. Everything you do and you claim that you did it, it's not you doing it. It's me using you to do for you. Let me go back to the bottom line. Thus does He complete His favors on you, that you may bow to His will in Islam. Here Allah is saying, look, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that. So now the blacksmith might be thinking, well, God, he did. I mean, if there was such an opportunity to have that kind of conversation. Oh, the tanner is, yeah, he's the one that did it. And the carpenter, he thinks he's the one that built a house. And the tanner thinks he's the one that made the tent. And the blacksmith thinks he's the one that made the weapons and the coats of mail, et cetera. And God is saying, I'm the one that did it. And it was a favor that I did for you because I created you and I put you in an environment that challenged your potential, a potential that could not come out without that challenge. And when you get the benefit from that challenge, don't you take credit. Give the credit to whom it is due. I guess I do have to go back and read this statement from Imam Muhammad. Oh, no. We're moving in that direction. Okay. So the bottom line, though, each one of these benefits is a transformation of circumstances that came about through the growth of human intelligence in reply to the forces or demands of nature. Alhamdulillah. It's a favor that Allah, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Allah, I created you in the most excellent mold, and then I put you in an environment that would stimulate, cultivate, and bring forward a potential you didn't even know you had, and it's going to arise out of you, and you're going to be happy, you're going to be pleased, you're going to be satisfied, you're going to be aided, you're going to be benefited by that cultivation. But don't forget, I'm the one who gave you the nature, and I'm the one that gave you the nature of your environment, and I gave you the possibilities for those things to be realized. So submit your intellect to my will, and there's more for you. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. MashaAllah. Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah citation. Sorry, I don't have the actual place that I pulled it from, but inshallah, we'll get it another time. The Imam says, how has God improved upon life? He has improved upon life by effecting changes in man. Let's go back to that first reading, 3796. And Allah created you and what you make. It's all Allah's will happening. We don't have all those philosophical discussions. Well, what about Hitler? What about fascism? What about racism? What about slavery? We had a conversation. MashaAllah. But you wouldn't be able to have the attitude and be in a position that you're in right now to even ask that question if Allah's will had not served to put you in a position to even think like that. So thank Allah for that. But let's move on. It said, he has improved upon life by affecting changes in man, in the environment, in everything. That's how he, Allahu Akbar, that's how he improves life. Alhamdulillah. Think about it, brother and sister. I'm not done. That Allah, he chooses from his creatures that he has created. I'm talking human creatures. And those who resign their will to his will and obey that other completed favor. Interesting, I have to say, Al-Islam, there are others who obey God and they get blessed and they do great things. Alhamdulillah, it's all part of the plan. Allah didn't set it up where everybody's going to be a Muslim, everybody's going to be a Christian, everybody's going to be a Jew, Buddhist, whatever, you know. All who obey Allah, they get this cultivation. But Al-Islam is the highest. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. The perfect way of life, the perfect favor of God is Al-Islam. The others, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, they are blessings that were not to be bigoted, and were not to be prejudiced, and were not to be abusive, or what have you. We're supposed to protect synagogues, mosques, churches, etc. Okay? But that does not, in fact, that's one of the reasons that it is honored and elevated, because the others are not on record as doing the same for Muslims. That is by the order of God. But for Muslims, you are ordered by Allah to do that. And when you do that, alhamdulillah. So the protection and the honor and the respect for other ways of life, alhamdulillah. But Allah is saying, this is, and this is how he improves upon life. So Allah uses his servants to improve life. Ismail Faruqi, one of his statements in the book is Tawheed, its implications for thought and for life. He says the engaged Muslims recognize that it's their responsibility to create a value-filled world. They recognize that it's their responsibility to create a value-filled world. We've gone over this, so I'll try to just make it just briefly to bring it back to your attention. We talk about the four birds. We talk about education, as Imam interprets it for us in the schema. Education, economics, governance, culture, right? And when we look at all those four domains and we say, are they obeying the will of Allah? Is education being what Allah wills for it to be in the world today? Is economics being in the world what Allah wills for it to be? Is governance being what Allah wills for it to be in the world today? Is culture being what Allah wills for culture to be in the world today? If that's not the case, well, welcome to your responsibility, Muslim, because your job is to make it be what Allah intends for it to be. Education, you have to work. We have to work. When I say you, it's we. We to bring about God's will in education, God's will in economics, God's will in governance, God's will in culture. That's our job as Muslims. And Allah uses his servants to be the opening for him to execute his will through them in the world. Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa. I am making in the earth a khalifa. What's that khalifa going to do? That khalifa is going to make sure that education serves the will of God, that economics serves the will of God, and that the governance serves the will of God, and that culture serves the will of God. and in its service to the will of God, what's the proof that it's serving the will of God? It's serving the destiny of man. It's serving the destiny of the human being as designed for the human being by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as long as it's not doing that, it's not conforming to Allah's will. So remember, go back to the other hadith Qudus, where it said, whoever becomes the enemy of a servant of mine, I will be at war with them. Right? And then he goes on to explain how that he loves nothing more than that the servant of his does the obligatory. And then he goes beyond that to do the supererogatory. Then Allah says, and I love him as he comes near to me, and I become the eye with which he sees, the ear with which he hears, the hand with which he strikes, the feet upon which he walks, and were he to ask me of anything, I'll give it to him. So it is in this obedience to this perfect way of life, al-Islam, that we open ourselves up for the expression of God's will through us, but we're being reminded that the most useful and productive aspect of our reality is an obedient intellect, an intellect that obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the people in the world that you look up to and that you look at and that you find rest and confidence and satisfaction, how their mind works. Think about the great luminaries, the great minds, the great minds and intellects. Servants of God. It's like, why were they so forceful? Why were they so powerful? Because they had obedient intellects, and God loved them. And they began to see in the way that Allah would have them see. And they began to hear in the way that Allah would have them hear. And they would use their force and their abilities and their capacities in the way that Allah would have them use them. And the rest is history. But it's for us also to make history. We can talk about some grammar lessons later, the perfect and the imperfect. I'm going to leave that to the grammarian. Says, oh, what is he? Why say like that? Make history. All right. So in any case, that's how he improves upon life. If God had wanted it perfect, meaning with no flaws, problems, etc., if Allah wanted creation perfect, he would have made it perfect. Meaning, nothing you can do. That's what he did with al-Islam. Is that not right? But al-Islam, he said, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum. This day have I perfected for you your way of life. What does that mean? Don't touch it. Allahu Akbar. Don't touch it. Don't add anything to it. Don't take nothing from it. Take it just like it is. Do it just like it's given to you. That's perfect. Well, Allah did not put us in a situation where everything was, quote unquote, perfect and not needing to be touched. All you got to do is just think about us in, whatever, 10,000 BC, human beings, right? And that's kind of late in the game. But the point is, there are certain conditions that were, speaking of, let's go with that, just air conditioners, right? I mean, there were situations, and there are still situations. Man, I could really use the air conditioner right now. Well, what about when it wasn't even conceived? Somebody ultimately conceived of air conditioning, and that was an improvement. But where the improvement? It came because there was something uncomfortable, and to that extent, it was, quote, imperfect, or it had room for improvement. And how many other things in our lives right now has room for improvement? Personally, family, community, nation, world, etc. All room for improvement. Many imperfections all the way up and down the line. But alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, when you, and I have to mention this, 2:148, look at that verse and look at it. Because all this is it's a principle it's a principle to the extent like gravity. It's like it is an ever-present truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed if we learn how to use it. He says, to each is a goal to which he is turning. So strive as in a race towards all that is good. Wheresoever you start forth, turn toward the sacred mosque. What it's saying is that all of you have urges and impulses. All of you have potential. All of you have been gifted with something which if you improve that, you can bring about improvement in the creation and in the life of man that would be a benefit to man, but you have to bring your gift out and put that gift to work in the interest of humanity in accordance with the plan of God. Turn toward the sacred mosque. The sacred mosque is a symbol of the human destiny that Allah intends for the human being. So when you take your gift and you put it under the guidance and get it the benefit of your obedient in intellect, and then you submit that to serve Allah's will in whatever domain it's to serve, and you aim that work towards the destiny of man in that quality in any of the four categories, just to keep it simple, in any of those four categories, then that's how you serve God's will in the world. That may be what you were created for. That may be what you were created for. And mashallah, if you go to work, how are you going to know unless you actually go to work to make it happen? Let's finish up. So all these areas where there's need for improvement, well, then you may be the improvement that the world is waiting for. You may be the improvement in that area that the world is waiting for. So just think about what you complain about on a regular basis and say, okay, maybe you complain about it because that's your nature telling you I got to do something about it. Sometimes the one who feels it the most is the one that's most capable of fixing it. Inshallah. So the Imam says, so he wanted it so that it could grow more and more and satisfy us more and more, so that it could be enhanced by our human effort. How do your children feel when they accomplish something? Do they bring it to you and say, Mommy, look what I did. Daddy, look what I did. Well, don't you understand that happens on the same level? Let's go back. Abraham, what did Abraham do? Abraham did something. He said, I dedicate this to you, Lord. And God said, good. Now, all y'all go look at what Abraham did. Okay? So that's all that is. We're saying again, all these are principles. All these are laws that are basically the structures and the paths that which if we follow them in principle, everything we aspire to and that we hope would be improved through al-Islam, this is the way that you do it. You actually do something in line with the principle as laid out by God. God said, this is how it gets done. Okay, then you submit your will to Allah's design, and then you do it. And when you do it, then God said, didn't I promise you that? So give praise to Allah and submit to his will. And for is that faraqda fansa? When you're free from your immediate task, he'll labor hard. Grab something bigger. Alhamdulillah. So it says, and if he had wanted it perfect, he could have made it perfect. He could have made it so that man could not imagine any improvements. But man can imagine improvements. Why? Because Allah wants that improvement. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. Oh Allah, give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come, and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Amen. Allahumma amin. Bismillah. Get a little water in here. So Allah says in the Quran that I created you and what you make. So Allah made us to express his will in creation. Allah made us his will in creation by manifesting what he desires to come into three-dimensional space and by the act of creating. Meaning he created us to create. We'll get into those conversations a little later. But all you got to do is look at the Quran. Don't get afraid of it. No, only Allah is the creator. Well, then why did he say, فَتَبَرَكَ اللَّهُ الْأَحَسْنُ الْخَالِقِينَ? And then Allah said, well, then glorify your Lord. Then glorify Allah, the best of creators. Why save the best? There must be others. All you got to do is just put a small C on it. And if you do that, then you're okay. You create on your level, on your level of creating. We'll spend more time another time on that. In Surah 87, one of the surahs that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would often repeat in the Jum'ah as a part of the prayer, as the prayer portion. Subhisma Rabbika la'ala alladhi khalaqa fasawwa wa qaddara fahada. Rich knowledge in that, and I think most of you understand my degree of affinity for that verse. We won't speak to it right now, but Allah is saying, he said, he is the one who gave everything its form and further gave it a place within the system, and he has given everything potentials to move from simple to complex, and he has given everything a purpose in his plan. Allah has given everything a purpose in his plan. You know what? Iblis, a place in Allah's plan. And having that free will, when he disobeyed, he was a disobedient, can be read as a disobedient intellect. And when he disobeyed, then he became shaitan. Allah didn't create shaitan. Iblis created shaitan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that potential to jinn and to men to choose, etc. And everyone is going to be charged for what they do. But even as shaitan was threatening in terms of what he's going to do to God's man, can't do it to God. What he's going to do to God's man, God said, Alayya mustaqim. He said, this is a way that leads straight to me. And the man has very rich, you know, ethical, philosophical, et cetera, reading and understanding of that. But the bottom line, God said, go ahead. He said, I'll fill hell with you and whoever follows you. You will not get those except those who put themselves in your power. You will not be able to get the mukhlisin al-lahuddin. So Allah, when we say subhanallah, let me remind you again, subhanallah. When we say subhanallah means Allah is beyond indictment. So I know there's such a rich field of atheists and agnostics and, you know, people of philosophy and nihilists and whatever. You know, life has no purpose and whatever. There's no God. Okay. That's because you haven't, by the grace of Allah, you haven't been able to get clear on, okay, you don't understand the nature of life. But in any case, you know, subhanallah, we say subhanallah, it means Allah is beyond indictment. Allah is beyond indictment, right? If you can't get an indictment, then you can't take the person to trial, right? Allah is not a person. I'm bringing it into our space. All these police with this violence that they've committed, but then they don't get indicted. Not only are they not going to go to trial, They probably get their jobs back or whatever the case might be. If they hadn't lost it in the first place. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so whatever you look at, whatever's happening in the world, doesn't matter. Whatever happens in the world, subhanallah. Allah cannot be indicted. You might not figure it out. You might not understand. It might not be clear. What have you. You feel the pain, suffering, whatever the case may be. When it is assessed through an awareness of the reality of the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the answer is going to be subhanallah. Allah is beyond indictment. Now, these things that bring people to the brink of whatever, disbelief or cross the bridge or knock them over the bridge of into the field of rejection of God and atheism, etc. When all is said and done, when Allah, quote-unquote, let's just say, if Allah was to, quote, state his case, which he already has, if Allah was to state his case, it's like, you're done. It's like, you're done. It's like, no. There's no indictment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm just saying for us as Muslims, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, most believing Muslims, all believing Muslims, most Muslims, I don't think they get to those existential crises if you are practicing al-Islam. You don't get it to the depths of whether, I don't know if I'm going to believe, I don't know if I believe anymore. Well, something else is going wrong long before you got to that question, if you call yourself a Muslim. I say, for Muslims, those who have submitted their wills to the will of Allah, and believers, those who are secure in their faith in God, then they never have those moments. Why? Because subhanAllah. Allah is beyond indictment, no matter what you think. Well, how come God didn't? How is it possible that there's God if such and such? Why did God? Keep on living, believing, submitting with sincerity, just like Abraham. When God said, he said, how will the resurrection be? You know, basically Abraham said, I don't get it. You know, and then God said, what, you don't believe? Yeah, I believe. But I need my heart needs to be settled. Okay, that's different. You have attitude, I believe, I just want to understand it better. All right, so by it, Allah will give. So Allah gives through the obedient intellect. Allah gives through the obedient intellect. I can complete the Imam's idea in this. Allah gave man the potential to create what Allah wanted him to create. Whatever man creates that improves life is Allah's will, and it goes to Allah's credit. The automobile, it's part of Allah's will, and it's to Allah's credit. It's not, you know, Henry Ford or whoever else. It's to Allah's credit. Why? Because Allah wants his creature to be comfortable. And everything, every other comfortable benefit that we get is by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah continuing to give to us. It's just that men often don't give Allah the credit that he's due. Imam Muhammad, he said, if you study what the scientists did, they didn't create anything. They only followed the directions of the Creator, and they used his creation and his method, his knowledge, his creation, and his way of doing things, and they came up with something. And instead of giving God credit, they say that they are the maker and that they are the creator. They create nothing. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate now after you've guided us aright, and grant us a mercy from your own presence, for surely you're the grantor of bounties without measure. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection. We beg you to continue your divine presence, power, mercy, blessings, guidance, and protection over us. We beg that you would raise us up as righteous Muslims with true intentions, with pure intentions. We pray that you would purify us in our hearts, in our intention, in our worship, in our thinking. Oh Allah, bless us to become obedient intellects. Oh Allah, bless us to be open, to be expressions of your will in the world. Oh Allah, bless us to improve ourselves so that we can bring about improvements in our families, so that we can bring about improvements in our communities, so that we can bring about improvements in our nation, so that we can bring about improvements in the world. Oh Allah, we recognize that we are responsible for the establishment of the values that you have given to us, the ma'aruf that you have called us to establish in the world. We beg your aid and your strengthening. Bless us to be able to practice your way of life as you have obligated us to. And, oh Allah, bless us to go beyond those obligations to fulfill the supererogatory deeds. Give us the heart and the spirit to be devout to be sincere, to be intelligent, to be balanced in our approach to living al-Islam. We beg you that you would rescue us from superstition, you would rescue us from doubt, that you would rescue us from frivolity, that you would rescue us from foolishness, rescue us from disobedience. We beg this of you only because we are too weak to save ourselves now. We pray that you would give us the strength to learn to obey your call to save ourselves and our family from a fire whose fuel is men and stone. But we need what you give, your mercy, your grace, in order for us to act in accordance with what you have called us to. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. just one announcement for now. Well, maybe I have more. Alhamdulillah. Tomorrow we will have Saturday, the yard sale. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mashawarteen yard sale, and it's the women of Mashawarteen are going to be selling fried chicken, $10 there. Also, there'll be books on sale. Mashawarteen will be sold here. And our congratulations to our own Manaima Shahid, alhamdulillah. She's being appointed the CEO. It's a big deal. You got to look it up. CEO of KIPP Metro Atlanta. You should know that also KIPP, K-I-P-P. It was actually born in Oakland, alhamdulillah. And our own Manaima Shahid, alhamdulillah, she's the, I know it's not the best language, but I'm going to call it the high mucky muck for KIPP Metro Atlanta. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for her continued progress on all levels. We are very, very proud of her righteously. So, alhamdulillah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Our dear, dear brother, Anthony Muhammad. He passed from this life this week. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Janazah arrangements are in process now. It's not likely that there will be any services before Tuesday. We'll give the details as they develop. May Allah grant him mercy and forgiveness. And as he has promised, then he's among those who, and Allah knows the person. We don't know the person. I think all that he has done for so many, at least, and even as it relates to Hajj alone, just Hajj alone, it's like somebody's dua got answered. Okay, I'm trying to hesitate without saying too much because only Allah is in charge, but almost like I could be wrong, but and that's very easy kind of like if he don't get in, it's like who's going to get in? You know, alhamdulillah. Allahu a'lam. Alhamdulillah. So, inshallah. Brother Khalid, I believe, did a video of him, and I think it's up there. So check Khalid's site out and others that are posted. Alhamdulillah. May Allah have mercy. He means a lot to me. He means a lot to this community, locally and nationally. Alhamdulillah. So that's a part of my spending time on it. It is personal. Alhamdulillah. So, I believe, wa alaykum as-salam. Let me see, make sure I don't forget anything else. Yes, and please continue your zakat. Zakat is still going on. The religion has not changed. All right, you can do it by phone, you can do it with Venmo, you can do it with Cash App, and maybe not Cash App, but PayPal and the like. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قتل فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غذاء أحوى سنخرجك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم جهر ما يخفى والذي يسرك ليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيزكي من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبكى إن هذا لفي صحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده ربنا ولك الحمد
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي الدين
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
ربنا ولك الحمد
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
السلام عليكم I'm a glove talk